Heavenly Father, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. There's quite a lot that could be said and needs to be said about the gospel today, but we have in recent weeks been taking a journey through St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, our second reading, and today we come to chapter 4, the last chapter. In chapter 2, we saw that Paul's theme was humility, and in chapter 3, it was self-worth. And now in chapter 4, the theme is contentment. He writes, I have learned to find resources in myself. Whatever my circumstances, I know what it is to be brought low, and I know what it is to have plenty. You may remember that the particular circumstances of this letter are that Paul is in prison in Rome. He's there because he's preached the gospel. The Philippian church, which he established, has heard the news and sent Paul some dosh to help him out. In fact, they're the only church to have done so. And he writes back this letter by way of thanks and sends it by the hand of one Epaphroditus. It's Paul's way of saying thank you and expressing his gratitude. And of course, Paul had had quite a lot to put up with. Not only was he imprisoned, but he'd been beaten and hounded for his belief. Not a few people around the world find themselves in not dissimilar circumstances. And a number of people have actually said to me recently, we don't watch the news anymore. It's too bleak, too upsetting. And it's not hard to see what they mean. We've heard a great deal about the abuse that many women have encountered and put up with unspoken for far too long. The Rohingya community of Muslims in Myanmar and Bangladesh have had to flee in their hundreds of thousands and cause great distress. And of course, there's still far too many people in the world that are poor and destitute. Learning to be content in these situations is a huge challenge, and we can only try to imagine what the people caught up in them are going through and to help as best we may. But it's important to be clear that contentment does not mean compliance. We should not look to lie down in the face of injustice, be a doormat. That's not contentment. But we can do all we can to oppose and change what has taken place. Nonetheless, there is still a personal mountain to climb. When things turn against us, can we find a place within ourselves which is still and content? A place that makes it possible to endure or accept what's happening, but if needs be, to fight back as well. Thankfully, most of us will not be caught up in political conflict like that or find ourselves in a war zone. And it's more likely that it's illness or personal circumstances and events which will be our tough call. There are resources we can seek out, medical and professional care, the support and help of good friends and family, our own initiatives. Part of our response, however, if we hold faith dear, will be to reach out to God. He comes to us through other people, but we will seek him within ourselves as well. Someone who knew what it meant to do that was Dag Hammarskjöld, who was Secretary General of the United Nations in the 1950s, and was killed in a plane crash over Zambia in 1961. And the circumstances of his death remain controversial. At the time, he was seeking to unite Congo and stop the province of Katanga seceding. Mining firms feared their concessions would be jeopardized if Katanga gained independence. A former Belgian pilot has recently claimed that he accidentally shot Hammarskjöld's plane down whilst trying to get it to divert. But what actually happens is not clear, and the presence of threat and plot seem real and close by. Lord Lee of Crundall, who is chair of the trustees who established the Hammarskjöld Commission, has written to the foreign secretaries in the UK and the US, asking them to disclose what information they hold. Hammarskjöld kept a journal, which was published after his death, and is called Markins. Here it is. I'll quote from it in a moment. I think Hammarskjöld's life was always a struggle, and he seemed to have almost an anticipation of his untimely death. In Markings, we read this. I am being driven forward into an unknown land. The pass grows steeper, the air colder and sharper. A wind from my unknown goal stirs the strings of expectation. Still the question, shall I ever get there? There where life resounds, a clear note in the pure silence. There is in his writings a striving after an inner contentment or peace, and part of which is facing the agony of the present moment. But there's a kind of breakthrough too. In a dream, I walked with God through the deep places of creation, past walls that receded and gates that opened, through hall after hall of silence, darkness, and refreshment, the dwelling place of souls acquainted with light and warmth, until around me was an infinity into which we all flowed together and lived anew, like the rings made by raindrops falling upon wide expanses of calm, dark water. Enlighten my soul, O Lord, that she may find her life and joy in thee, until transported out of herself by the excess of her happiness, she binds herself to thee with all her powers and in all her motions. Hammarskjöld's writings are quite dense and intense, but I hope you sense something of his struggle and something of his search. Dag Hammarskjöld had a lot on his plate as Secretary General of the UN, but it's not just that which draws out of him a personal journey in search of contentment. He has an awareness which is spiritual. He was journeying with God and to God. Although the agonies he describes were his, they are in their way familiar territory to all of us who are honest about our own experience. I think St. Paul would have recognized what he had to say. If we, like them, are seeking the place where we will be content and know what it is to be brought low and what it is to have plenty, like St. Paul, we may well consult with others, but ultimately our journey is with God, our spiritual awakening and maturing. How do we do this? Well, we might put pen to paper, like Hammarskjöld, keep a journal or a blog, thoughts and prayers written down day by day of all that's happening. We might put paint on canvas, capture those inner feelings. We might listen to music that expresses better than we can what we're feeling. And at some point, we must, however, as Jesus suggested in the Sermon on the Mount, go into a secret place, a room by yourself, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is there in the secret place with you. In that secret place, we may say prayers of our own, however hesitant, and we may use the prayers of others. We might review our day, see where God has been present and where he seems to have been absent. This may be as you rise, or it may be as you retire, the evening collect perhaps. Lighten our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercy, defend us from all perils and dangers of this night, for the love of thy only Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Prayer is often the art of being still and being silent. There are things to say and to ask, but there is also waiting on God in the secret place, listening for what he might have to say to you. When we can be still, when we can be silent, then perhaps we will be content. I'm very fond of this poem by David Scott, a friend of mine, a retired priest, but a nationally recognized poet as well. It's called A Peculiar Clarity. If you want to hold the silence to its natural depth, I wait. Wait for the door to bang, the mower to come to the end of its endless turning. Wait even for clothing to cease to rub on clothing. Then I wait still more until the way is clear for the bird to sing its invisible song, traveling a long way on the silence, breaking nothing by its being heard. Waiting for the bird to sing, waiting to meet with God. These are the footsteps to a contentment which can only be found in God, the giver of all good things. He says to us, do not be anxious. Do not be afraid. I am with you always. Amen.